Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Tuesdays with Elliot is not interrupted for debate days.
Yeah, right.
It's the origin of debate days.
It is debate day.
It is debate day.
I was going to say, he is debate day.
He is debate day. Boy, I can't wait for Elliot Week. Elliot's appearance today brought to you by Groundworks. Don't let a weak foundation sack your home's value. And don't let all that water that comes in sag your home's value either.
You gotta tell me.
Yeah, schedule a free inspection at groundworks.com. So nice to walk into my basement and know there's not going to be any water.
It really
water
is
in there.
The best feeling. Yep, Each time I go down there and I'm like, look at this.
Yeah,
I feel like, could be.
I feel like a superhero.
Yeah.
Speaking of superheroes, Elliot, congratulations for making it back here in time.
Thank
from
you.
The Nick Sirianni.
Never a doubt.
Nothing will keep me from Tuesdays with Elliot.
By the way, was Nick big timing all of Philadelphia by doing his press conference?
An hour and a half late.
They're running on Super Bowl time now.
Yeah. Like, what are they talking about for that hour and a half?
Yeah, it was a long time.
Yeah.
I didn't think getting here at 3 would be a question when I heard it was at 12:45. So
what did you think about, Ike and I talked briefly about how not only does Nick sound better during press conferences than he did 3 or 4 years ago, but even since the beginning of last season, I feel like he's evolved and exudes a sort of different way. I guess you don't feel that way.
No, I agree.
Okay.
I think he has, I just don't know if I would say better is the right word. Like, I think what makes Nick, one of the things that makes him a good coach is his personality and his willingness to like show emotion, right? It's kind of similar to the sideline debate. Like, I'm fine with how Nick 99% of the time acts on the sideline. I want him doing that. I feel at the podium now, we get such a watered-down version of him. Like, he's up there so afraid, in my opinion, to say something that'll go over the wrong way.
Yes,
right?
Yes, awesome.
I don't want that, though.
Awesome.
Like why should he change who he is? I'm all for self-improvement and, like, if...
Because he's less of a distraction.
But today of all days, like, I'm not today specifically. I just think since they've won the Super Bowl, like, it's been a very subdued Nick every time we hear from him.
Good.
But I don't think that is good.
I want to see
an emotional Nick. I want Nick to be himself. I don't want him to be who people want him to be.
But I think there's a difference here. There's a difference between him changing as a person and him acting different in press conferences. And I think if he changes as a person in the locker room, mm-hmm. in the building, that would be one thing. Mm-hmm. But him keeping that, the part that you like, for the team,
right,
and not allowing his press conferences to dictate the narrative of what's going to happen with the Eagles, which is a distraction largely from the team. Like, when you think about all the times the players stuck up for him, mm-hmm. they had to stick up for him. And players shouldn't have to stick up for their coach because of what he said or because of what he did. They had to remind us, oh, no, he's a good coach. And that's a distraction,
but
right?
But I feel like the having to defend Nick has, for the most part, not been podium like come from that. It's been sideline stuff. There was the Flowers comment, but he was proven.
Yeah, that was years ago.
Yeah, and he was also proven for what it's worth, like extremely correct about that.
Yeah.
Right. So I think I get your point. If he's one person at the podium, but he is still the same person he's been for four years around the players, that is important, and I get that. But I also do think Nick is a public face of the organization, and I think people like Nick for who he is. So I think you are right. It is more important he is himself in the locker room, and maybe how he acts at the podium isn't a huge deal. It's disappointing. Like, every time he talks now, it feels like he's subdued.
You know why that
is? What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Because that's not who Nick is. Like, that's not the Nick that...
And well, I know he's grown.
But is it for the better? That's my question.
Yes.
They just won the Super Bowl.
I don't know if it
Elliot?
Is. Well,
I think it
but
is.
But I don't think it's because of the podium.
Well, no. I think... Here's what I think. I understand what you're saying. I'm poking at you a little bit.
No, I know. It is
Tuesday. But I understand where you're coming from. I'm just saying I can appreciate some of the dialing it back, toning down a little bit of the emotions on the sleeves. Mm-hmm. It's really a balancing act, right?
Yeah.
When you bring it out versus when you don't bring it out, and knowing when to do that. That's what I think he's gotten better at. Because to your point, like, his players, last year, we talked to Brandon. We talked mm-hmm. to Brandon. I think, hell, even Jordan might have said this to us as well. that they had to tell him, "My dude, you ain't being yourself."
Yes, at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I understand that. So I understand where the players sort of want him to be himself. My only thing is that, and this is why I give him credit, because I don't think it's as simple as me saying don't do it or you saying go ahead and be yourself. I think there's an area where he has to manage when to do it, how much to do it versus not doing it. And, you know, like, he has to manage that. And I think he's doing a great job of it. I really do.
I also don't think you can separate totally the sideline and the press conference. I think, like, he has to compartmentalize those things, it seems like. Mm-hmm. When he is in public view, he is at one Nick. When he's not in public view, he's in another Nick. And I think, like, you know, I'm not even talking about the bragging sort of chest out stuff during press conferences. He rambled and didn't know what he wanted to say.
I get that he's improved in those ways. I understand. Yeah. This is a public speaker. He had never been a head coach before.
Sure.
I get that.
I think we're seeing a guy who no longer believes he has to prove anything to anyone. And he knows that what he is going to say is the right thing because he thinks it. Mm-hmm. And he also knows, I don't have to convince you of anything.
Less pressure.
You know what I mean? Like, he got challenged. They asked him, how many years are on your contract? It's pretty typical to not comment on that. Mm-hmm. But because they can sense, maybe I can find a weakness in Nick, I'm going to push you on it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, why aren't you answering? And he's going to say, because I don't want to.
So I think those are all fair points. And I do agree that it is advantageous for the team and Nick if he's not a distraction at the podium, obviously, right? I just hope that, like, I saw this with Doug, right? Doug won the Super Bowl in 2017, and clearly things did not go great for Doug as a coach after that, so it was different. But Doug, by the time he left in 2020, in my opinion, was so beaten down by, like, the city and the media and, like, the pressure. I think he was a different person. If you look at him in those press conferences compared to when he started, it was different. I don't want that to happen to Nick, where he feels when he goes up to the podium, I get you have to act a certain way, but I want him to remain himself.
All right. His starting quarterback won the Super Bowl.
That's a good point. I mean, it's a different... Doug
going through that Carson-Nick Foles
thing was the craziest thing ever. I mean, Doug had to live through that. Like, Doug had to navigate that whole thing.
And that's part of it, for sure, Doug had to live through. Yeah. I'm just... Even, like... You know, I think we can now look back and say what Nick did against the Browns really wasn't that bad, right?
Sure,
was
yelling, I agree with you that. Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But it feels like he still has to act based off that moment where people criticized
him.
Not
just that moment.
But I think that was the last one where people really lost it on.
Right, and then what happened? And they lost one more game the rest of the season after he had that moment, and everybody was like, and this came from, by the way, this wasn't fans.
Oh, yeah, this is up top, too.
Jeffrey Lurie
and
Howie Roseman is like, we don't yell at the fans, our own fans at the sideline grow up. And from that, we can point to all the things that happened around that time. Mm. We can point to the meeting with the offensive line. We can point to the change with the offense. We can point to the defense getting better, all those things. But I don't think you can lose the fact that that happened and he discovered his organization was like, that's not who we are. And I think there is a point. What I see from Nick is a guy who has grown up on the job.
I agree with that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And he's figured out, I think, I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying. You want Nick to be Nick.
Because Nick has... Sorry.
But who Nick is, I think, is probably different than who Nick was 4 or 5 years ago. And the other thing I'd say, comparing him to Doug, and there is nothing that can equal, I don't think, the controversy...
Sure.
The Carson Nick Foles controversy.
Yeah.
However... What happened in 2023, the quarterback publicly basically not backing him is a huge thing to deal with. And he navigated that and Doug didn't. And I think Doug was a really good coach, but clearly Nick has an ability to grow and manage like the emotional intelligence of everything around him, has an emotional intelligence that I don't think Doug has.
I think Nick is very coachable. In a weird way, right?
Yes.
Listens to the people around him. And I guess the last thing I'll say on this is I just think Nick has a personality that fans in this city gravitate to and like makes a connection with the fans. And I mean, look, Andy Reid, your coach, is a great example. Like you guys talk about Andy off the podium, like a completely different person than he was on the podium.
Yep.
And obviously, Andy's arguably
the fans never connected with Andy.
But if he thought that was advantageous to winning, it's hard for me to say no.
Yep.
I just
and he
I,
did.
And
by
and
the
did.
Way, he did.
Well,
yes,
I think he's the best head coach of all time. So obviously, what he did worked. I'm just saying. I don't want to see Nick turn into a version of Andy on the podium, because I think who he is can really add to the his legend in this city.
He got a little bit different personality than Coach Reed. He's a little bit more of a fiery. Like that. And I think that works with today's players, by the way. Mm-hmm. I think just one of the guys, as opposed to being one of the guys, not being so rigid in what you want and how you want things done, having the ability to listen to your players. I heard Jonesy on with the morning show this morning just talking about the difference in coaching and how Tockett may be, why he's a good hire for those guys, and sort of what you need to do to be a coach with today's. Now, they're obviously speaking more about the NHL, but it's really today's athletes.
Yeah.
It's today's athletes.
Well, the college system seems to change that a lot, too. The ability to today's lead, athletes, recruiting.
Much smarter than we were, meaning that they have more information available to them. We just went and played. Coach tell you to go play, they show you plays, you go and play. Over the last 10 years, players have taken a little bit more of an ownership of the leagues, of their teams.
They're more powerful.
Yes, and so coaches have to at least have the ability to embrace that. And you don't mean you let the players run the team and do what they want to do, but you certainly have to let them have a voice in what goes on.
You got to get them from point A to point B in a different way.
Yes.
You can't just tell them to do it. You have to find a way to get them to do it with them thinking it's their idea.
By the way, I actually think that's the biggest difference between Doug and Nick. I think Nick is excellent at what you just said.
Yeah.
Like, I think Nick loves coaching and like the relationships part of the coaching. I just, like Jalen at the podium, Jalen is who Jalen is at the podium. Mm-hmm. And he's probably very similar off the podium. Like the times I've been around Jalen, right? Similar. Yeah. But I also
want him to show more personality at the podium, Nick?
What I'm saying, though, is like Jalen has a resume in 4 years as a starting quarterback. And he probably is the most popular athlete in the city regardless. But he should already be like extremely popular. I do think he is the most popular. Who do you think is more popular?
Saquon?
Maybe Saquon. Yeah. Maybe, but it's definitely no one on the Phillies, Sixers, or Flyers.
Well, definitely no one on the Phillies. I mean, the price is there.
Well, Bryce, I think it's how we measure popular.
I think it's fallen behind Jalen's.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe for the moment.
But what I'm trying to say is, I think that if Nick starts to act like Jalen at the podium, I get the reasoning for it. It would just be... I think it would be disappointing to see Nick kind of hide who he is more because of public criticism.
Can I make one final thing? We talk about the difference between you think people like Nick and like the way he is and didn't like Andy the way he was. If Andy had won the Super Bowl, and because think about Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick was a total jerk.
Right.
Never said anything. And everybody in New England thought he was the greatest thing in the world. If Andy Reid had won the Super Bowl, and to the other side, as much as we love Nick's personality, everybody wanted to fire Nick for 3 years.
Three years after the first four games last year.
They wanted to fire him.
80% of his time as a coach.
And all they could talk about was like, why is this guy being such a buffoon all the time?
Yeah.
Just coach the football team.
But wouldn't that speak to be yourself because the results are all that matters? Like Belichick.
I know what you're saying.
I think by handling it this way, it gives himself a little more leeway.
Give me a little more room.
I would agree with that.
Give me a little more. Belichick was fortunate.
Yes,
he got away with it being that way.
And by the way, look at how it's working out for Belichick once he got fired. Nobody hired
him.
Right? And he's certainly going through his
at least this gives Nick, especially in a town like this, it doesn't hurt if we want to give you a little bit of rope.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You get a little bit of, you know, like to give you a little bit of cushion versus jumping you. So I think this allows Nick to build that up with the fan base.
And the other thing is, if we're being honest, like, not a lot of athletes get rope in this city.
Yes.
You know, like,
I agree.
If they lose to the Cowboys 27-3 week one, you know, it will not be they won the Super Bowl. Like, some people will say
I agree with that.
There's not a lot of rope.
Yep. So we were doing our show meeting when Jalen spoke. The only quote I saw from Jalen, because I want to get your thoughts on what he said. The only quote I saw was somebody asked him about reflections on the Super Bowl, and he said, "I am here to talk about the 25-26 Eagles."
It's QB1, man.
That's the problem
locked in.
You don't talk to him for the 3 months since. But I think that was Jalen was himself today. He was very much himself, like focused on next season, focused on getting better. He talked about how in the building, I'll paraphrase here, but basically there's a little more on his shoulder now. He's a veteran player, he's the quarterback, there's more responsibility. dodged the White House question, I would say.
No, somebody asked it?
I asked him about the White House.
That's our guy. What'd you ask him?
I asked why he didn't go to the White House.
What did he say?
Honestly, I don't remember completely because I was so focused on like looking and asking. But he basically said, I was busy, but the people that went seemed like they had fun.
Here's what he had to say.
Caleb, how come you didn't go to the White House? I wasn't available. I don't think that's pertinent.
Well, it's definitely... and was available.
They seemed to enjoy themselves.
You know who enjoyed himself was Eli Ricks, who is
Saquon.
Yeah, it's Saquon. Yeah, Eli Ricks and Saquon. Oh, they really had a good time.
Listen,
got a knock in the locker room.
With that answer, nobody followed up.
Nope.
Yeah.
Well, listen, that's a great answer by him then.
Jalen's great at controlling the press.
I don't think that's pertinent, really.
Because people are terrified.
Yeah, they're terrified of him.
Intimidating.
Dude, he bullies the big Jays and asking about the opposing team's defense. Like he's ever going to say what they do on tape.
I wasn't available. It's not pertinent.
Not pertinent. Move on to the next question. Yeah.
Well, at least, you know, to his credit.
You got the question in there. You got it in there. Nobody else did.
Well, it was interesting. AJ was asked about it and said he had a family thing that day, but his reasoning for going was not political or who was in the office.
Oh, okay.
Well, at least AJ gave you that.
Gave you the answer.
I hadn't seen any of that on social media, so I'm surprised you brought that up. I'm like, oh, you did ask the question.
Well, it felt like the main question, but.
Yeah, of course. See, this is why you're the insider.
Well, you know, the other ones couldn't ask him because 90% of them didn't go because they were.
they didn't go.
Well, they decided not to do their job because they had to make some sort of statement. Speaking of AJ,
I forgot about that part.
Yeah, I'm not going to do my job today. I got rules about where I can do my job. Here's what AJ Brown had to say.
Yeah, you were among a handful of Eagles who didn't go to the White House. Why didn't you go?
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I had a personal reason I was dealing with that day, and so it wasn't about politics or who's in the office or anything. You know, I just had some personal going on with my family. So.
There you go.
Yes.
So, all the brothers on the team
had something going on that day.
Except for besides Eli Ricks.
Eli Ricks.
It's a good day to have the YouTube up.
Yeah.
I'm laughing because
Zach Bond.
Because it's like the elephant in the room, but I'm actually happy. I'm actually happy that the question was asked and we can move on.
Yeah, move on.
And that was kind of the tone of the day. It felt a lot like move on from it.
Yeah, I can imagine the Eagles PR guy looking at you, you know.
But
he's like,
side,
you saw who was there.
But the flip side,
the
is
long
like,
snapper guy was there. You know, the one who retired.
He might have wanted a platform to explain why he didn't go.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. So, for sure. No, I'm good.
Way to give him the platform, Elliot.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for.
He needs a press conference for the platform.
Exactly. He needs me to ask to get his message out.
Right.
It's like when Ike played and no one had blogs or social media. Yeah. Like that.
So we will learn tomorrow about the tush push. I, for some reason, Elliot, am infuriated with the NFL for trying to eliminate this. Mm. They're lying about it, which I think what bothers me the most. They're lying about player safety. They're lying about the thing that actually bothers me the most is not the player safety. It's that it's how it looks and it's an ugly play, as if a regular quarterback sneak is some magical great
exactly
play to watch.
The same. It looks exactly the same.
And I would say,
with a regular quarterback sneak, you're not getting pushed.
But stylistically, I just think if you showed someone who had never seen football 20 plays, 10 were tush pushes and 10 were quarterback sneaks, one person wouldn't be like, the quarterback sneak looks way different.
Yeah, I just think,
like stylistically, from an aesthetic, the push is different, but it's not like a quarterback sneak.
It does look different.
It's not like a quarterback sneak.
But there's six people lined up behind the quarterback pushing him.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of
entertainment value, it looks the same.
I actually.
The pre-snap is different.
Well, I actually think the entertainment value of the tush push is now up because people are aware of what is happening. The thing, though, that drives me the most crazy is that people here, and I think mostly fans don't want it banned. I think everyone is mostly together on that.
Largely fans, or Philly fans.
Okay, all right. But I think generally the whole, we'll be just as good without it, is is actually...
Yeah, we will be.
But we won't, or they wouldn't do it. And it hurts their chance to win the Super Bowl next year.
Oh,
it,
come on,
well, no,
man.
It might not be... It's not like losing a starter, but like all of these things, we think about the one play here and one play there that end up winning the Super Bowl. Like one play this, here that wins this game
and this
that
is
gets
what I don't want to happen. This crutch... But well, a tush push.
And what
this crushed, and now we're not going to win because they took away the tush
what
push.
What is going to happen, though, if they don't convert on a third and one or fourth and one yep. in a big game, yeah. like everyone will be like, they would have gotten it for the tush push, if not for the tush push. Now, I agree.
Oh, we're not going to blame. So, no, we're not going to blame that we allowed penetration pause in the A-gap there, right?
Yeah,
right,
boy,
right?
Some tells me that won't be the talking point from yeah. the callers. If I
a lot of penetration yeah. talk yeah. about yeah. the gay gap. Yeah.
So I agree that they'll be fine without it, but what it sets up is... that anytime they don't convert one, people will believe they would have converted if it
yeah.
was a touchdown.
Yes.
So let's say,
a bunch of babies.
Let's say they play the Packers. But the other thing that is an absolute
the truth, other teams are the babies.
Right, they're the
Packers are
the
babies.
They are babies too. I
by
agree.
The way,
yes. I agree. They are babies too. I agree.
Nick knows it's gone, by the way. Did you hear Nick today?
Oh yeah. yeah
he didn't
yeah.
even want to talk about
well,
it.
Well, he said yeah. it'll be public tomorrow.
Yeah, well,
I here's the phrasing of it'll be public tomorrow implies privately they know the answer.
Well, here's the thing. I'm just saying, life goes on from the tush push.
We talked like about AJ's Donovan answer. Throwing forward. Up in the Super Bowl for 20 years. We
oh,
can
that's
talk
a low blow.
Well,
Donovan,
I'm just saying.
And I got a debate about Donovan and Jalen. I don't need you and your throwing up in
no,
the Super Bowl.
I'm, what I'm saying is, if you think I'm just going to forget about it because the ruling is tomorrow.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Oh, no, I agree with that. Yeah. Listen, we hold on to everything.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree with that.
So here's my question, and maybe... So I'm looking at the Packers proposal.
Yes.
And here is the thing that is confusing to me, which if I was another team, I don't know if I would want to vote for this. So it's Article 4 D. It says, no offensive player may assist the runner except by individually blocking opponents for him.
Mm-hmm.
Individually. Mm-hmm. So does that mean... me and another player cannot block an opponent because we're not doing it individually.
So I think you could perceive it, but I don't think that's what it means.
Then what
I
does
think it
mean?
Just means the individual is blocking. Like the if there's two
oh, individually meaning I can only block. I
like,
can't push a player.
I don't think you can link arms together.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Got like, it. Okay.
It doesn't mean you can't run a double team block.
Exactly.
Yes. That's what it red
yeah,
line.
Yeah, does not mean that.
Thing.
Yeah.
But the other thing on the tush push, to aid your point about how unfair it is, we should just be honest and say if the Eagles were 4-12 or 4-13 last year, this would not be a discussion.
Of course not,
because it was not a discussion after 2023 when they tanked.
That works both ways, though, E.
But I'm saying
you wouldn't be fighting for it either if the Eagles didn't win the Super Bowl. If they were 4-12, how many people would be fighting for it?
But there would be nothing to fight for. Like it would not be coming for the play. I get your point.
No, my point is that let's say people were opposed to it. How many people would be in support of it if the Eagles were 4-12?
You're right that people would not be lining the streets mad that Tush Bush is being taken
exactly.
away. But there would be nothing to protest against. So I just think that that's where I agree with Spike. Like I do actually believe some people firmly believe in player safety as a reason. Now, we can point to the stats and everything. I just hate the lying about it's a rugby play, an aesthetic thing. Like
yeah.
that is strictly just their way to get it out. Because I don't think it matters if they think it's aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, no. Here's the thing I'll say. I mean, listen, it was a play that was banned 20 years ago. I don't remember people clamoring to be able to push people in the end zone.
So they
changed the rule mistakenly, not thinking it would lead to this.
Right. And that's
that was their issue. That's the league's problem. They should have never mm-hmm. opened this up for it to be this
the
way.
The Eagles found a loophole
yes.
in the rule.
Which is why I respect
it
so much.
And I do think, yes, I mean,
yeah.
I've said I think it's going to help Nick Sirianni's Hall of Fame case, that he's going to be the only head coach that designed a play.
How about
that
winning the Super Bowl helps
well,
his
that
case.
Helps too. But I mean, he's already on the trajectory. But how many head coaches can say they designed a play that the league had to ban?
Did All he right. design it?
He's a head coach.
There it is. All right, coming up next. So it's debate days on WIP. And for the second half of Tuesdays with Elliot, we're going to go through some of Elliot's most fiery...
Oh, yeah.
The opinions that started the most fiery debates.
Well, I did enjoy Ike versus Joe. Yeah, Ike had an uphill battle.
Seriously uphill battle. Hold on, how did I battle, though?
Well, I thought you won.
There it is.
Boom, there you go. Yeah, that's my guy.
There it is.
My guy right there. Looking at you.
What? Yeah.
Ike versus clickbait?
Well, no. I mean, yeah. I mean, Jillian's out there. I don't want it anymore. He didn't have any reasons. Yeah.
There's no reason. There's no depth to that argument.
No, get him out of here. All right, it's the WIP.
I want out of the Embiid business.
Yeah. Does,
what's
fair.
The deal?
Guys, 120 pounds soaking wet over there trying to argue about sports. Now, how could you even respect this opinion?
I feel bad for anybody that comes in here, man.
Yep. All right, it's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Tuesday is with Elliot going on.
This is Elliot music right here.
I was about to say, I know this old song.
Give us the hand spin. The dancing, there it is.
Oh, no, come on, dude. You guys acting like I'm not a good dancer is insane to me.
You dance like a middle-aged woman.
No.
Yes,
no,
you do.
No, you put
your hand in the air, you call it dancing. You do. I've seen it.
You're a wooer.
Me, yeah. Ike, and Jack stayed out after everyone in New Orleans.
That's true.
And
Ike will tell you.
It's true. You look good.
Thank you.
You did, man.
No, I know you won't say no, but it is the truth.
No, you did look good, man.
It's not that you don't look good. I think it's funny that you know you've reached your element when you get the hand twirl going.
Yeah, it's how I show my rhythm.
See, I'm going to tell you what it was. Jack couldn't appreciate your aura and your
Jack
swag. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, like, he couldn't appreciate that. I was controlling that dance floor.
Well, Jack probably has no rhythm whatsoever.
No rhythm whatsoever. Yeah, apparently taking videos and pictures.
I was.
Yeah.
Well, blackmail, of course.
Yeah, right. Don't ever tweet those, but I can only imagine they'll end up on the Afternoon Show.
They will.
Yeah, I know.
They will. The Twitter quest is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. For the best selection of diamonds to fit every budget, visit the home team at Mark's. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Who won the debate about Joel Embiid, Ike or Giglio? Now, the debate was, should the Sixers trade Joel Embiid? The rules are you don't get anything back for him. You just rid yourself of Joel Embiid.
Which pretty much says what the actual truth to the answer is.
Well, the truth to the answer might be that you have to give something up.
I know.
Yeah. Who won the debate? 68.3% say Ike.
Hey!
Actually, that's a good showing for Giglio.
I think so as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't sure how that was going
to
go.
Yeah. I think. Yeah, we don't need to talk about it. We have plenty of time to talk about that. But
unfortunately.
I want to get to it's debate days.
Yeah.
So I want to get to Elliot's greatest hits. And as I'm going through, we picked out some of your opinions that have not just made the listeners most mad, but us on the show. So I want to find out if you are still where you have been on all of these debates.
I can't imagine I've changed my mind.
Now, you look like you're not happy with this. Are you not happy?
No, I'm excited to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, you sound thrilled.
Okay. The number one, I think this is the one that people bring up the most to me, is that you think that professional athletes should be able to gamble on themselves and their own games.
Yes.
And do you still believe that?
I do still believe that. Okay. And again, I can recognize I'm ahead of my time with this.
And
in like 10 or 15 years, it'll be casual. Like no one will really talk about
it. Net.
There's no chance that'll ever happen.
I disagree.
There's no chance.
What's the downside? Honestly. Like you think a player making $7 million a year is going to risk his entire career off of throwing a game?
Sure. Well, how about not a player making $7 million a year? How about a player making $1 million a year?
How about
a player making $1.5 million a year?
I don't think a player is going to throw his career off of throwing a game.
Well, they already have, right? Pete Rose is banned for the rest of his life.
But did he throw games?
But that's not what you said.
No, that's exactly what I said.
No.
You said throw games.
No, again, you said they should be able to bet on themselves.
Correct.
It's very difficult to prove that somebody threw a game. So all you can do is look at their performance and decide. But here's the issue. The issue is the only thing that matters in sports, the only thing, because if this doesn't matter, then nothing else matters, is the integrity of whether the outcome is the outcome.
Right.
Is whether, and the minute that people even imagine that the outcome is not true to only the competition between the two teams, not only does the sport fall apart, but the gambling falls apart. So here is the biggest issue with what you're saying. The gambling companies don't want the players to be able to do it, because the gambling companies, to be able to make the money that they can make, people need to believe that they are betting on something real. And as soon as they think, even if they believe that a player might be going for a rebound or not going for a rebound or scoring a point or not scoring a point because of gambling, mm-hmm. it's over.
So I don't believe players will, because only instance that matters is if a player bets his under on points, right? Let's say
no.
Well, if
no.
the bets is over, how is that going to impact?
Well, because let's say
he can start shooting the ball too damn much.
Yeah, let's say Eric Gordon has made probably $200 million in his career, but Eric Gordon is not a prime player anymore. And if Eric Gordon not just bet on himself, but like knew that other people bet on him mm-hmm. as well, which it opens it up to that he's going to score more than 8.5, and he's at 7, and he shoots a shot that he wouldn't normally be shooting, then the over is also an issue.
And let's say it comes out that Aaron Gordon intentionally did that. Teams would no longer employ him.
It'll never come out. Because you there's no way to
but
prove
then
why
be doing
a player...
It now for all we know.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm saying, so if...
They find out whether or not if something looks
right.
odd.
And if it comes out that someone did it, then the team can decide.
But
if they
why
still
even introduce that? What is the benefit?
Because what's like? I feel like you're talking about sports fans almost as if they're like children. Like, yes, if there is gambling involved, some people could be like, well, it's not authentic. I don't think that's the case.
People
like,
talk about the games not being authentic now.
Why shouldn't Jalen Hurts be able to bet $1 million that he'll win the Super Bowl?
But, it's not
me,
just...
No, use that example. Tell me why he can't
because
do that.
Because if Jalen Hurts has anything other than his... Because then he might make a wrong decision because...
What if a player is allowed to bet on his team's money line?
No.
So... Why? What's the problem with that?
Well, first of all, are you backing off of the props now?
No, I'm just trying to slowly get you to where the future is going. Like
the future's not going this way.
Let's say Jalen steps off the field in New Orleans and goes, and by the way, I bet $1 million I would win it. People would be like, oh, look at that. Look how much he believed, blah, 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 right? So why does it matter if a team or Jalen profits off of him being good at his job and winning?
Because that's not, you're not just saying that. You're saying they should
know,
be able to bet on, should
step,
he be able to bet against himself?
I wouldn't have a problem with it. I understand that, like, that would knock over well publicly. But let's say he did, and the Eagles found out. They could decide not to employ him. So you acknowledge that in certain...
How are they going to find out?
Hold on. Would you be okay with Jalen betting himself to win the Super Bowl? Yes or no? Hold on.
I'm not okay with any player gambling on their own games.
You would not be okay with it. Why?
No fan would, Elliot.
Because it questions the integrity of what they're doing and why they're doing it.
Their motives are other things besides just going out. Hold on. You ask why. So for a fan, because I don't think most fans will be okay with this. I'm almost certain 99% of fans would not be okay with this. Let's say there's 1% of fans out there like you that wouldn't have a problem with this. Most fans would not be happy about that. As a fan of any sport, I don't want to hear that the players are betting on the game.
Well, think about also, one of the things, the problems with boxing is that people they guess about the results. Like, they don't know if it's real or not real. Mm-hmm. And that is one where you can, right? Mm-hmm. Floyd Mayweather can bet on himself.
Now, boxing, you can actually bet on yourself.
Like, I think it adds to the questionable, like, outcomes
but
of boxing.
I also just think you guys, or people against it, are making a rule off of what will likely be a small percentage, right?
But even a small percentage is
a
problem.
But I'm saying, as a society, we don't normally
make rules.
What
would be a small percentage?
Like, what percentage of players do you think would gamble in a way that impacted the game in a negative
Forget
way?
Forget about the player, the fan. The fan, Elliot. This is how the sports. This is how we become who we are, mm-hmm. and talking about sports and playing sports because it's the interest of the fans and what they have in it. So if the fan would not be in favor of players betting on games, betting on themselves, then it's null and void because that's what it's ultimately about. It's about whether or not the people who purchase the product, whether it's through viewership or through tickets, if they believe what they're seeing out there is on an up and up.
Right, and that's why I acknowledge this is ahead of its time. It is a public thing right now. But I'm saying, like,
should their private gambling apps be made public?
Should what?
So right now, if I bet on something on a gambling app, the only person that knows is me and the company.
Right.
So if I'm employed, I just want to find out. You say if the team finds out. So if I'm employed by the Philadelphia Eagles and I have a gambling app and I bet on myself, does the team know? Because right now, that company doesn't need to share that information with anybody.
That's a good question. I'd have to think about how to do that.
All right. 215. We'll get to Elliot's next. I don't want to just do this one.
I don't want to take,
215-592-9494. Never gambling when you're going to National Appliance Warehouse, right, Jack? That's a sure win.
Yeah, listen, you walk in there, you know you're going to exit a winner.
Come on.
Listen, and Spike, you and I, we always talk about how you're going to get a great price, right?
Yes.
So price short, that's a piece of technology specific for National Appliance Warehouse that instantly updates price tags all throughout the store. It finds a lower price elsewhere.
Yes.
You know that. Also, Delaware helps, right?
Lower price there, no sales tax.
So go to their showrooms in Wilmington and Middletown. But on top of that, Spike, the Memorial Day mega sale is underway right now.
So you're saying the best price is maybe even lower than best.
That's right. That's a National Appliance Warehouse difference.
And Jack, I'm into price. Price is great. But also I want to be treated like great. I don't want to be pressured. I don't want to be, you know, I want to know that person just wants to see me happy. And that's also part of the National Appliance Warehouse.
They're
difference.
The good family, right? So yesterday you brought up how I always say that they treat you like family. And so, well, sometimes family can fight. Not at National Appliance Warehouse. Everyone gets along at National Appliance Warehouse. They're knowledgeable, smart, there to take care of you. And Spike, I know you're not a huge, you know, grilling guy.
No, I'm not.
I know you put your little vegetable kebabs probably.
Yeah, I'm not a big griller. We talked about that with my mom. She was like, why don't you get a grill? I was like, Mom, what am I going to grill?
I think turning on a grill is hard.
Stop. Give us 2 seconds.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's finish all right.
Turn on a grill.
Yeah.
That says a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why say lighting a grill?
No, yeah. No, yeah. Getting it to heat up.
Yeah.
No, Jack just said
it's
it.
It's just
yes.
a button.
I'm not risking my life.
It's risking your life. It's the same gas that's in your stove in the house. Anyway,
don't worry. They also have tons of grills for you at National Appliance Warehouse. So not only are you going to get the right appliance, over 100 brands from sub-zero to budget, but also it's grilling season, weather's warming up, you want to be outside, go down to National Appliance Warehouse today and get a grill. And on top of everything else, they do installation, delivery, and a whole lot more. So visit nationalappliancewarehouse.com or their showroom in tax-free Wilmington or Middletown, Delaware today. And as always, tell them Fritz sent you.
All right, on debate days going now to next, Elliot's next one.
Grills. Yeah, let's move on again.
Yeah, now to grills.
Yeah. Well, no, look, maybe you're thinking about a grill that you have when you're on a hike or something, that you have in your backpack or something. The ones that you buy, like at National Appliance Warehouse, as far as turning it on, you're opening the gas, just the turning that.
Are you
that
putting
down.
A propane tank there? Like,
well, the propane tank is already there.
Yeah, see, I'm good with that. I don't want to. Well,
you don't have to do it.
Okay.
Because all you have to do is turn it on and press the light button, just like your.
I hope you guys all have fun doing that.
Just like your.
You won't catch me doing that.
Okay.
Yeah, tell you that one.
Okay.
Blow up in my backyard.
I don't use a gas grill, so.
See, a non-gas grill, I can be convinced.
Yes.
I'll use charcoal?
Yes.
Oh, like a real grill.
Yes.
Like, I meant like one with like a plug, like a George.
Nah, no, yes, like, we know. That's why I said,
wait
when
a
you said turn on the grill.
I'd be into
a plug?
That. Like, I'm saying, if there is not
you don't
a tank,
plug them in.
If there is not a, I know, that's why I don't like to use them. I'm saying grills that involve a plug, I am more likely to use.
Yes.
In fact, it's the only ones I'll use.
But that's not what he's not saying.
I know,
he's using.
I misunderstood.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's not saying he's using electricity.
I forgot about charcoal.
Okay.
Halfway through, I was like, okay, I get it. And then he said charcoal, and I was like, nah, okay, never mind.
All right.
Certainly won't catch me buying a bag of charcoal and matches. And
now the next.
I'll just order it.
The next Elliot take. And by the way, we're going to do these all again during Elliot week in August.
Oh, man.
And will it, now, you're not willing to back off your players should be able to gamble on themselves. Are you willing to back off of Mike Schmidt not on the Phillies,
yes,
not Rushmore?
I will back off. I will back off that one, okay? If it makes everyone so happy, Mike Schmidt can be on my personal not Rushmore. I'll take off Steve Carlton.
Why are you taking off Steve Carlton?
So I have the big three, and then Schmidt. Is that good enough? Who do you want off?
Just take off one of the. Do you have Hamels on there?
Why can't you have Carlton and Schmidt on there?
Because I don't think I can pick between the three big three of 08. Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, and Jimmy Rollins.
You got all right. All right.
And then I put a pitcher, but people were so mad about that. I'll put Schmidt.
Okay.
He can be on my Mount Rushmore.
I can't believe you're taking off Carlton.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you didn't seem to fight too hard for him to stay on when I said it.
I thought it was kind of an automatic.
Yeah. I thought you were taking off one of the three players that were on one team.
I will never back down from taking the three guys from 08.
Okay. Listen.
Yeah, I can tell you.
It's whatever. It's half a win. Half
a win. I said Schmidt could be on.
What do you think, Jack? Do you think the famous one or his tweet that probably got more traction than any tweet Elliott's ever had?
I think the tweet that... Okay. The second one.
Okay.
No.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No, this is...
We'll let you go with that one.
Yeah. This is August 16th, 2020.
Wow.
Elliott. This is during COVID.
Oh, I know what this is.
August. Yeah. What is this?
I could maybe score a touchdown.
Yeah.
I could luck into a home run. I could probably get 2 points in an NBA game, but I could play hundreds of games of hockey and never, ever score a goal. It looks impossible. Do you actually still believe that you could luck into a home run?
Yes, because the key word people don't get here is luck. I'm not saying that I could do it off of skill. I'm saying if you gave me 1,000 or 10,000 pitchers or whatever off of a pro pitcher, he would throw it so hard that if I connected correctly...
You will never connect.
I don't think... Well, I definitely will connect. It's just a matter of whether or not...
throwing 95 miles an hour?
Yeah, connect. Of course. If I swung 1,000 times at a 95-mile-per-hour fastball, you don't think I'm going to touch it one time?
Are you crazy?
I hit like 88 in the batting cages. And I'm not... I know that's different, but I mean, let's not act like it was 30.
If I can line up a pitcher who throws 95, are you willing to take swings?
Well, he has to promise not to hit me intentionally.
Yes, as long as he doesn't hit me.
When this tweet went viral, there was quite a few in the Phillies minor league system that were not thrilled with it.
You could luck into a home run. Just out of curiosity, how many at-bats do you think that would take?
At least 1,000.
Only 1,000 at-bats?
At least.
That's it.
Like, but probably more.
So you know there are pro players that could sometimes get 1,000 at-bats and
but
not even hit a home
capable,
run.
Would you agree they're capable of doing it?
Like how many home runs did Juan Pierre hit?
Or what was it? Ben, the outfielder?
Ben
Revere.
Revere, right. Yeah. Like, but we would all agree he's capable. He just didn't. He got bad luck.
I did hit a home run.
Yeah.
Ike is much bigger and stronger than
It was an inside the park home run.
No! That was the second one.
In a game or Phillies pal thing?
Hold on. Because you wrote that out there like you had something. Yeah, you wrote that out there like you had something. No. I took Ricky Bowe over the fence.
At Citizens Bank?
Spring down in Noah.
Right
at the
Bright House.
Bright House, whatever it was called back then. Philly's
Baycare Ballpark. Yes. Yeah, Baycare
Ballpark. I think this only validates my opinion.
Okay. Next one. And Elliott, do you believe this to be true right now? The Queen is the most famous person in the world.
Oh, God.
I do.
No.
Like,
you believe
again,
that?
She was alive for like 85 years as Queen. People in the world, like all over the world, knew who she was for the
whole... No, they didn't.
I think a large...
So right now?
Yes, I still think the Queen is the... Like, I think if you showed a picture of a Queen to everyone in the world, more people would recognize her than probably anybody else.
Queen versus the President.
I think the Queen.
The Queen versus... Can I tell you? I would take Taylor Swift over...
No.
Right.
I would.
Yes.
I would. I would. Okay, this is part of the world, right? Like, so if you... Let's take Philadelphia. If I were to send Buzz out tomorrow,
right,
with a picture of the Queen and the picture of Taylor Swift.
Buzz is listening like, Elliott, just give it.
I don't have to do this.
Yeah. How many, you think more people in Philadelphia, if we asked 1,000 Philadelphians.
Did the Queen have the crown on?
Why does she need a crown on?
Sure.
Then you can tell she's the Queen.
But you can't just say the Queen.
But she is the Queen. That's my point. Like, she is known as the Queen because she was the Queen for like 90 years or whatever.
But giving somebody a crown.
How many times does she wear a damn crown?
Yeah. Quite a bit.
How about?
I don't really remember seeing her.
But here's the thing, Elliott.
Often.
You could take a completely different person and put a crown on them,
exactly.
And they're going to say, "Oh, a queen."
I don't know.
No, he's right, because the crown is what is the symbol.
But my point is, everybody knows the Queen. Like when people,
don't know the Queen.
I think more people know the Queen than Taylor Swift.
I don't agree.
Boo.
Even in Philadelphia,
I mean.
In Philadelphia, in New York City, in Chicago, in Los Angeles, in San Francisco.
Maybe in London. Maybe over there, sure.
Over the entire world, people have known who the Queen is for a longer time. Now, if we did this outside...
Do you think people in China know the Queen over Taylor Swift?
I think more people in China know the Queen than Taylor Swift.
I think you're crazy, actually.
I don't believe it.
Well, I can tell you think I'm crazy, but it's my belief. Again, I also would say part of what I was probably saying is more people have known the Queen... like in her lifetime, than no Taylor Swift. Because the Queen was one of the most important people in the world.
Really? What'd she do?
She was a queen. I don't know what she was. She walked around and saw people and shook hands and flew places. And
last
on
one.
Boat.
We only have 1 minute for this. Now, you were given a talking to and a look from Meryl Reese. from, I forget who we had on the phone. You do not believe that Reggie White is on the Eagles' Mount Rushmore.
Oh, well, no, I definitely don't believe he's on there. He's just, look, he's a great player, and he might be the best player in franchise history. He legit might be. But he's not an Eagle. He is a Packer.
What?
He's a Packer. Well, Reggie White, we're talking about.
Let me
ask
you this. What do you think the Eagles think?
I think they would love to claim him as an Eagle.
Love to claim him. He is an Eagle.
I think if we want to talk about publicly, if you put a picture of Reggie White out on, let's say, outside the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, and you asked every fan going in, who did Reggie White play for? I think more people would say Packers.
No, I actually disagree.
It obviously depends on your age group. But no, but there are older people that remember Reggie playing for the Eagles.
I know, but Reggie's biggest moment winning the Super Bowl was with the Packers.
So, but Randall Cunningham's biggest moments were not with the Eagles. They were with the Minnesota Vikings.
Look, I think Randall's probably an Eagle. You could convince me he is more remembered as a Viking. I don't believe that, but like I wouldn't bat it back like aggressively.
You know what?
I mean, his year with the Vikings.
I mean, I'm just doing this off the top of my head. Sure, it was the crowning moment. Was that Super Bowl about Reggie White?
It wasn't about Reggie.
So only reason why I say that is that I understand that's the crowning moment of his career. He won the championship. But Reggie had so many other great moments that those are also embedded in people's brain, right?
I think from
a player. 21 sacks in 12 games.
Right. I think people think of Reggie playing better football with the Eagles. But I think because, first of all, I think Reggie might, honestly, might best be known for leaving in free agency and the impact he
had.
Sure,
yes.
Right? So, like,
yes.
I think his move to the Packers might be what he is best known
that,
for.
You might be right there, yeah.
All right. Great
job,
Alan.
That's fair. That's a fair one.
Took me a few hours. I found out.
But he's on the Mount Rushmore.
He's not on my Mount Rushmore.
All right.
He's a great player.
All right. We'll
tell you that much.
We'll do this again on Friday. Because it'll still be debate days
best,
on Friday.
Yes.
You can get the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcast. We will have one today about the Nick Sirianni press conference
course,
or something.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yep.
Oh,
it'll
man.
Be in your feed tomorrow morning.
Did you find out how much money we got?
He got
grilled by McClain.
It is weird they won't say how many years. Because they did say when Doug signed. When Doug signed
they
his
did?
Extension in 2018. Yeah, they said.
Somebody's got to find out. I'm putting in
now,
all
Doug
you insiders.
Now, Doug won the Super Bowl with 3 years left on his deal.
Yes, because he wanted his second
year. He wanted his second year.
So there's a
Nick won it with 1 year left on his deal.
Yeah. I get not saying how much he makes.
I don't.
One of you.
Well, the player. But the player's information's out there.
But that 15 is 15 to 20.
Yeah, I would guess he's making double what he did before, and he was
so that's 15.
Seven. Yeah,
at least
Elliot,
15.
Elliot, go get that info insider. All right. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.